Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
If I was going to give a Mother's Day tribute, I think Through It All would be a pretty good title for it. There are three women who have impacted my life greatly, but for whom I would not be doing what I'm doing, have enjoyed what I've enjoyed, and celebrated what I've celebrated. And I mean this deeply. My sister Lynn was the academic in our family, and she challenged me to be a student, a lifelong student, and kept me from quitting more than one time in the early days. My sister's in heaven this morning. My mom, who you've heard me talk about numerous times if you've listened to our ministry, had an impact on me that was generational, that will go on for a long time. My mom is also in heaven, but my wife Lindy is here, and I'm grateful for her support and her love and the times when she said, no, you do need to get up and go. It'll be okay. And so Lindy, thank you very, very much for what you poured in. And I think there's a common denominator. When I think about some of the moms in our congregation that I've met, this idea of through it all, this idea of, yeah, we don't quit, we don't give up, we get up when we get knocked down, and we keep going. I've watched that play out in the lives of my kids when Lindy has committed, and many of you have been the same way. There were multiple times when you could have given up or quit. So it's appropriate that we launch this series entitled Make Your Move on Mother's Day, because if your mom is still here and with us, she's likely to call you to movement, maybe even today before the end of the day. And if your mom is already on the other side, you can almost hear her say, you got to keep going. You got to keep moving. We are going to join a people who are prepared and ready to make a move as we go to Exodus chapter 13. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. I want to unpack this a little bit, and we'll start with this phrase. When Pharaoh finally let the people go. I am grateful for the fact that not unlike the Israelites, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, Pharaoh has no grip on us. There, you need not be in bondage. When Jesus rose, Pharaoh finally let go. There is extraordinary freedom, and one of the things that I think that I want to say at the outset and probably spend a few moments here is the fact that even though you're free doesn't mean you go. Just because we're free doesn't mean we move. And one of the things about our faith that we need to be reminded of is that faith eventually demands movement. I'm aware of the fact that sometimes in faith we sit still, we wait, there's an appropriate time for that, but sooner or later, an egg hatches or it rots. And so we are called to movement. The Israelites were called to movement out of bondage. Then they were called to movement into the promised land. And because that movement didn't continue the way that God intended it, after they left Egypt, they paid a horrible price. Our faith is all about movement. When Joshua led them across the Jordan eventually, it wasn't until the feet of the priest touched the water that the waters parted. We're called to movement. Jesus, in calling his disciples, it was a call of movement. Come, follow me. was his call. Jesus is, after all, the way that points to movement. Jesus' great commission for you. In case you have never really found a verse of scripture that would define your calling in life, well, this is it. This is one that will work. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples. There is movement. And even when Jesus ascended into heaven, it's one of my favorite moments in scripture. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples are standing there, and he goes, and the disciples are still standing there, and these angels appear, and they say, why are you standing here, right? Go, we have been called to movement. So we're in the book of Exodus, and for someone either watching online or in this room, I need to ask you, when is there going to be an Exodus chapter of your life? You're free. You don't have to stay in that bitterness. You don't have to stay in that complacency. You don't have to stay where you are. You are free. When will there be an exodus out of fear? When will there be an exodus out of a lukewarm spirit towards God? When will faith cease to be a hobby and become a calling? Faith eventually demands movement. Go. There are times we pause to grieve. And I've been there. And the grief can be heavy. And the grief is right and should be walked through. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a time we need to make an exodus. When I went to Ottawa to pastor, they had had what had probably been one of the best pastorates that had gone before me in the history of the church. And a great pastor. I mean, if you looked up in an encyclopedia, Pastor Randy's name would be right there. He was just a great, great guy. I never met him, but I had the privilege of coming in after him. And he had died at a very young age from leukemia. And he had given instructions before he got too sick to communicate about, you got to move forward, you got to move forward. He left that legacy. But I was warned when I went in to interview with the board that when you step into a situation where a pastor has passed, especially at a young age, and especially somebody as incredible as Randy, Brian, I don't know, that's going to be a tough thing. But he had so prepared that board that when I went in and sat with him, I said, look, I know you're grieving. And one of the board members raised her hand and said, you know what, we have been grieving. But if we're going to be true to what our former pastor called us to and what God's called us to, it's time to go. So my question for you, whether you have been a Christian for 2 or 3 weeks, or whether you have been a Christian for much longer, and this, I guess, would specifically be for those of us who have been a Christian at least a year, but in the last 12 months, where have you grown spiritually? What can you point to and say, this is what I've worked on with God. This is where he's led me. Now, this will get uncomfortable because Christianity has become a spectator sport, or one that we critique, or one that we just offer our opinions on, or one that we drag into a whole bunch of other conversations. But as a believer, we've been called to move, and so where have you grown spiritually? Where have you gone spiritually? Who has heard your testimony in the last 12 months? And listen, if this seems a little awkward, it was awkward when God said it to me. Because I'm a follower of Jesus outside of this moment, right? But it's a call, it's a question, and faith eventually demands movement. And if we get stuck, it's not Pharaoh's fault. God has set us free. As a matter of fact, in John 8:36, it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The enemy cannot stop you. He can deceive you. He can affirm you in a lackadaisical attitude. He can affirm you in self-pity. He can affirm me in discouragement. But the bottom line is, we are free to make a difference in the world. 2 Peter, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I used to think that God would propel me into his preferred future. Like, okay, God, I'm giving you my life and my heart. It's your move, right? I'm kind of like, we want to be discovered. Like we want the destiny bus to pull up and we just get the ticket and we just get on and God takes us. Like we want to be discovered. You know, I still have this hope that somebody's going to see me shooting baskets somewhere and go, wow, not going to happen, right? I used to think that God would just launch me into a preferred future. But here's what you need to know. What he did for me was hand me a paddle and say, let's go. And whether you're the destiny that you want to live out, whether or not whether you want to go somewhere with your family, you want to take your family, whether you want to see relationships built, whether you want to do something in the community, it's time for us to get out from in front of the screen and move. Build relationships. I was yesterday at the commencement at Olivet Nazarene University, and it was a businessman who had, Russ Bredholt, a Nazarene businessman who had graduated 50 years ago. And they always invite somebody from 50 years ago to come back and speak. And so it was a little disturbing when they said, that means for that graduating class today that in 2071, right? And so that Dr. Bowling said, so y'all take good care of yourselves because we need at least one of you to survive and come back. But Russ Bredholt, a godly man, a successful business person, quoted Charles Jones, a motivational speaker and a great business individual from the mid-1900s. In 5 years, you will be the same person you are today, except for the books you read and the people you meet. Now, I say that because sometimes we're going, well, I don't know what to do. Well, start here. Start here. How are you learning? And if you're not reading, you can listen to it. I don't care how you get it. But what are we doing for movement? Are we regurgitating the same stuff? Are we hanging out with the same opinions and the same attitudes? And we just get together and we go, boy, just nothing happened. And we don't move. Because commencement services are long. When they read the names, I did a little research on Charles Jones and found that there were three things that this businessman brought to a challenge. One, who are you going to live your life with? Make the call and stick it out. Number two, what are you going to give your life doing? I like that word doing. It's movement. And what are you going to live and who are you going to live your life for? Stop blaming Pharaoh and go. Now, I'm still hanging right here. Pharaoh has cut him loose, and a lot of times we get 15 feet and we will stop. And I was thinking about the things that at First Nazarene we want you to experience. If you become part of this family, part of this community, there's three things we want you to experience. Of course, all of this is on a foundation that you become a student of the Word of God and spend time daily with God in that relationship. All of that is there, studying your Bible. But beyond that, we seek to create environments where people experience the presence of God in corporate worship. Where there's a moment, we pray and we prepare and we think and we put all of that together because we want there to be a moment, whether it's in the message or in a song or wherever, where you experience the presence of God because it's here. He's here. We want you to experience the family of God in a small group. A group of a situation where there's not one person talking and everybody listening, but where we're doing life together, where we're asking questions and we're building relationships that last a lifetime. We want you to experience the power of God in service to others. That's where you'll find the power of God on the apostles, on the disciples. That's where you'll find it come. God doesn't display his power just so we can go, ooh, like a 4th of July fireworks show. But if you want to make a difference, you'll experience the power of God. Now, my question to you is, are you doing these? Because when you say, well, I don't know exactly what to do, or maybe you know, you're close to my age and I'm at a point now where I used to have to apologize to say this because I was talking about older folks, and now I are one, right? I'll be 60 this year. We somehow think, well, there was a time for that, but now I'm just doing my own thing. Doing your own thing. Wow, that's interesting. I don't see that. There's a call of God on us. Are we engaging in this? Because if we're not, then and you're still going, that's fine. But if you're not going, there may be reasons for that. Now, let me take it a step further. This issue of service. We are reopening children's ministry after what has been. Now, hear me, church. Hear me, those of you who are part of this, what has been an unprecedented year in our entire church history. We have come through being shut down. We were never shut down, regardless of what happened in the past. And there we have demand. There are folks who want to come, but we need to be able to open up additional services, and we need folks who will volunteer. And that means that you may spend 2 hours here. You may come to one service and volunteer at the other. But at our staff meeting this week, Pastor Hunter said we need 8 additional people just at the 10:30 service, because that's where we're open right now, an additional 16 to open up the 9 a.m. service. Now, children's ministry may not be your thing, but I'm telling you right now, what is your thing? Because movement calls for us to go. Pharaoh is not the issue. Neither is other flesh and blood. We're called to movement. So you can either take out your phone right now, text 474747, and then follow the guides there. You'll see that where it says, I want to serve. You can just take a moment right now and fill that out and let Pastor Hunter know that you want to find a way to serve. Maybe once a month, maybe every other week, maybe once every couple months or whatever it is. But I'm telling you, especially those of us who have been around the church, we came up through a time when there were people who made a move and made sacrifices for us. So I'm calling for you to do that. Then you can also stop by the Next Step corner, and Pastor Galen will be out there. He can take your information. But we need to stop blaming Pharaoh or the Democrats or the Republicans or whoever else we want to blame and move in this local church in service to others. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that leads through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. That's an important sentence there, the one at the end. They left like an army. They weren't an army, not yet. Because God knew the first time they get punched in the face, matter of fact, they don't even have to be punched in the face. They just get a little thirsty or a little hungry, and they're going to be ready to turn around and go back. Now, here's what I've experienced in my own life, and I see over and over again, somebody has an idea. Somebody has a calling. Somebody feels like, hey, there's a segment that needs to be served here. There's something that we need to do, and they'll bring it to a pastor. And the pastor will say, well, every calling has a champion. God could be laying it on you. And it's like, yeah, or they answer something. But then when they begin to follow that calling, and this is true of virtually everything that we pursue, whether it's marriage or whether it's some kind of ministry or whether it's a vocation, right? Whether it's whatever it is, and when it doesn't happen the way that we anticipated it happening, we have a tendency to want to quit. And so we miss the miracle. And here's what this verse reminds us. God knows what you can handle, when you can handle it, and how to get you safely through. So when it takes longer than you thought, keep going. There's an old poem that I won't read you, but it's entitled The Zigzag Path. And we expect a straight line. I mean, we want that destiny bus, right? Have an idea, and we want to hallelujah. And when I say we, I mean me. Let's just go there. When I have an idea, and I say, oh, we have an idea, we should go. And I'll pitch it to Phil and Galen, and I'll expect them to sing the hallelujah chorus, you know? And then you find out that, man, it's a little tougher. And we quit, and we drop it. I've seen that happen, and I've had it happen. When I think about the years of ministry, I think about a lot of mistakes I made and things I would do different if I had them over. At least I think I would. Maybe not. I don't know. But there's one mistake that I managed to avoid, and that was quitting. That was giving up. And even as I said that, the Holy Spirit said to me, well, that's not true. When I wrote it, the Holy Spirit's not true. Wangler, you have quit 1,000 times. The only thing you did right was you didn't stay quit. You manage to process through, and you say, well, let's take another shot. Let's do it. Let's go forward. I remember when I got my first local minister's license, that's where it starts. The ordination process in the Church of Nazarene is substantial. You don't get one of these online, right? And you go before a board of ministry, and I'd applied for this local minister's license. I was been a Christian a couple years and was trying to figure out education and trying to figure out finances, and I was frustrated, and because I kind of want it now, right? And that's what I love about Amazon, just boom, boom, boom. And but you don't get that with the things God calls you to. And I got so frustrated. I don't remember what it was, but I told Lindy, I can't handle it. The pastor had given me this application, which would be the start of a process. It could take up to 10 years. And it's like, I don't think I can do this. I just went rip, 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 boom. Pastor calls. Brian, hey, I'm so glad. I just want to let you know, you bring that application, you can interview with the board Tuesday night for your first local minister's license. And I went, oh, no. And I'm taping stuff together a few minutes later. I've been there. But you got to keep going. Because here's the thing. If you don't keep going, you will become what happens when we start and we stop on a faith journey. The first thing that you'll do, 1 Corinthians 10 talks about what happened to the Israelites when they stopped moving. They began grumbling, just griping. I don't like this. I don't like that. And grumblers are experts at everybody else's business. Have you ever noticed that? Just experts. Then they begin to crave evil things. They talk about pagan revelry and sexual immorality and the worship of idols. What I'm saying to you is, don't stop. Whether your goal, whether God's called you to move your family, or he's called you to move yourself, or there's some other thing that he's doing in your life, stopping can't be an option, because you don't get just to stay where you are. None of us do. We got to keep moving. So keep going. And then we are reminded in this text that God always goes before you. Always goes before you. The Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. This allowed them to travel by day. I don't think I'm doing any violence to Scripture when I say it's a beautiful thing when we can travel by day. It's a beautiful thing when everything's in its right place, God makes sense, and we understand, and the path is not zigzagging quite as much, and okay, I can see it, I can understand it. And then you have that moment when the lights go out. And this isn't what I thought was going to happen at all. I never anticipated this. I thought for sure. And when the lights go out, be reminded that God always goes before us. Here's the thing about movement. When you think about movement, whatever kind of movement that you're talking about, whether you're leading your family someplace new or whatever it is, you have to think pathway. Think pathway. Don't think miracle. Now, don't get me wrong. If you walk the right pathway, miracles will happen. But they'll happen on the pathway. And God is always in front of you. Jesus said, tell my disciples to go and I'll meet them there, right? In the Galilee. God always goes before us. So when it gets dark, there is still the presence of God which will lead you. Keep going. So I'm going to give you an update on a message that I preached on August 11th, 2019. And I was going to resurrect the story, and I decided, hey, why don't I just go back and give you 2 or 3 minutes of a clip of a story I told about somebody who was committed to moving forward even when the pathway got dark. So check this out. This young man's name is Daniel Casagoma. Daniel's been a part of C1 for about 6 months. He comes from Kampala, Uganda. And when Daniel was 10 years old, he was playing soccer in the slums of Kampala.
His family lived just in a little better neighborhood, actually, outside, but all of his friends were in the slums, and Daniel kind of grew up running with these guys, and they were playing soccer one day when a sports ministry outreach, centered in the United States but going all over the world, pulled up in a van, and they began to hand out soccer balls to these kids. And then volunteers began to get out and do some coaching. And then they came back the next week and the next week, and they began to work on them. And Daniel gave his life to Jesus as a result of that program. He started going to a local church in Kampala and has a pastor named Pastor James who began to encourage him. And he said, Daniel, what do you want to do with your life? And Daniel at one point said, you know what I want to do? I want to go to university and I want to study computer engineering. And after I do that, and I want to play soccer, and I want to play the highest level of soccer I can play. And then based on, with soccer as a platform, I want to come back to this place, back to these slums, and I want to build an engineering school, a computer engineering school, for kids who never could go away to university, and I want to use soccer to help do it. And his pastor said, you should do that. And Daniel will tell you that when Pastor James says you should do that, you should go do that. He goes, what? I don't know where to begin. The pastor said, you need to go to the United States. And Daniel didn't have a way to get here, and he wasn't recruited. He's a great soccer player, but he wasn't recruited. But one of those coaches from somewhere around Naperville, Illinois, talked with Daniel, and then Daniel went and got his passport, managed a visa, and the volunteer connected him to Moraine Valley Community College, and the coach recruited Daniel and helped him with some scholarships, and Daniel began to play soccer at Moraine Valley, all with the intent someday, I'm going to go back and build an engineering school, and I'm going to play soccer. Well, eventually, after a few months, Daniel's father died, and he didn't have the money to return to grieve and mourn, and nor did he have the money that had been coming in to help him. And Daniel, when I heard his story the first time, it was right down here, and we became friends over several months. He would come up after a service and say, Pastor Brian, I love this church, and I love what you're doing, and I just want to be an encouragement. And finally I said, where are you from? Who are you? And so we sat one day and I listened, and on that day I said, hey man, I want to put this on a podcast, and I want to put it out to our people about all the things God has done. This is a kid who's got unbelievable faith. And he has overcome and overcome and overcome. So we set up this last Wednesday night, and I said, you're going to come. Actually, was it this Wednesday? Yeah, I think it was this last Wednesday night. Not that it matters. I said, I want you to come in, and we're going to record your podcast, and then I want to just tell the story. And when he came in, his face was kind of fallen, and that was never Daniel. And I said, Daniel, what's going on? And now how he wound up at C1 is that near the end of the fall semester of last year, he had lost a place to stay, but Drake Silver from the Silver family was also on that soccer team, and the next thing you know, Daniel's living at the Silvers, and they're helping him, and Dean Silver, Drake's dad, says, this is the hardest working guy I've ever seen. I mean, this guy is busting it to get everything together, and so I had told Daniel, come in, and when he came in and I was going to interview him, I said, what's going on? He goes, you know, Olivet has offered me significant scholarship, and I'm grateful for it. But there's a gap that I don't know how I'm going to put together, about $14,000 that I don't know how I'm going to figure out. And I worked hard all summer, you know, just 6 days a week, just with a lawn service. And the owner of that service will tell you he's the best worker that he's ever had. He said, I'm praying, Pastor Brian. And I said, Daniel, we don't need to do this tonight, man. We can record this some other time and maybe just talk about the issue. And he's like, no, tonight I need to praise God. And we went into that, and you're going to be able to hear that on our website soon, of this young man just praising God in the midst. And every step of his journey has been doing in the face of discouragement. What do you do when you don't know how to get to another country, and yet that's what God's called you to do? You do what the pastor had asked him to do. Go get your passport. Take a step. Go take what you can get. When you get to Moraine Valley and you walk on, there's not quite enough money. What do? You just remain obedient in the face of discouragement. And I'm asking you to pray for Daniel. We're working with him and hopefully going to try to figure out how to work this out. But this is an example. This is the most...
Following that service, several of you came up and said, hey, if there's some way we can help, I want to help. And so that Monday, Pastor Phil, and we need to thank God for his ministry at this church, Pastor Phil began to talk with a few of you, and we had a little bit of compassionate ministry money set aside that we could help him because of your faithfulness. And we had literally like 24 hours to get something done, or he would have to leave the country. But Tony Fightmaster, who works at Olivet, he and his wife opened up their home and allowed him to move in and live with them for free. Yesterday, I was at Olivet for the commencement service, for graduation. It was outside and it was beautiful, and my phone is very old and these pictures will prove that to you. But I was there to celebrate more than one of student who was graduating from, had links to C1, Drake Silver being one. But I also wanted to see something else. And when it happened, I snapped a picture. This is a picture from a long way away of Dr. Bowling handing the diploma. And then I realized that they were coming down off of that platform, going to the far end of the football field and turning and then coming back up. And so I moseyed down there and I took this picture. I broke at least a few state laws, probably a couple federal laws in the length of our hug. I said, Daniel, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to do what I set out to do. I have an undergraduate degree in computer science. I can find my way there. But if I'm going to start a ministry, I need to learn more. And so I'm going to do a master's degree. And then, Pastor Brian, I'm going to prove the devil a liar. He said that to me multiple. I'm going to prove the devil a liar. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to start that business, and I'm going to start that school. God always goes before you. You know, that happened because some of you moved. That happened because everyone who gives to C1 has moved, and we had some initial funds that we could begin to help him from a compassionate ministry standpoint. God always goes before. Go. Pharaoh has no grip on you. Listen to me. Though the way isn't easy, keep going. Mom, young lady, grandmother, because of this day, let me say this to you. You are where you are by divine appointment. God has placed you where you are. Could have chosen anyone to be where you are. Chose you. Consequently, promise you, you're doing better than you think you are. You're farther along than you think you are. In obedience to God and for the sake of others, what is your next move? What step do you need to take into? What step do you need to get out of in order for God to do something fresh and new? It's time to make your move. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for the people who moved, and because of their movement, the gospel reached my family tree, my mom and dad. Because of their movement in prayer, I grew up in a church being loved, watched after, and cared for. Went into ministry, and because of the movement of people, Lord, we've seen extraordinary things. But I know that today someone, either online or in person, feels like, yeah, I'm stuck. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they would recognize that because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we are free to go. And though it take longer, it cannot be denied, for God has set us free. And though sometimes it gets dark, you'll be there in the darkness, leading and guiding and directing. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, there may be somebody in this room or online who needs to start out with you. It's not a question of a calling right now. It's a question of relationship, or they need to start over. Maybe they have stalled out and they need to start over. Your word gives us eternal promises, promises which are true for every single one of us. And the word says that if we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. Your word says that if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive them. The word says that your mercies are new to us every morning. And so for that person who needs to take that step, right now in the name of Jesus, we stand upon those promises. We confess that we need you. And we ask that you would transform and cleanse and forgive and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content. And always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.